This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Much of the marketplace caters to specific interest groups, but one of the largest groups, Christians, is largely ignored. Despite the fact that more than 70% of Americans identify themselves as Christian, spend $2 trillion annually, and are expected to spend $30 billion this holiday season alone, people of faith are largely ignored by marketers. But not all companies are hostile to the faithful. An organization called Faith-Driven Consumer rates more than 300 companies based on their attitudes toward Christians and people of faith. Faith-Driven Consumer is calling for what they call a Christmas boycott, urging Christians to vote with their dollars by patronizing establishments that are sensitive to their faith. I speak with Chris Stone, founder of Faith-Based Consumer, about his organization and the Christmas boycott campaign.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Tragedy struck the California city of Redlands in San Bernardino County Wednesday when a man and woman opened fire at a holiday party at the Inland Regional Medical Center. 14 people were killed and 21 wounded before police caught and killed the duo. The killers are identified as 28-year-old Saeed Rizwan Farouk and 27-year-old Tashfeen Malik. Farouk was a co-worker of the slain. It's thought that Farouk, a U.S.-born citizen, met and married Pakistani-born Malik in Saudi Arabia. The FBI is treating the incident as a potential terrorist act. In a decision that preserves the thanks of a nation for the sacrifice of Americans who died in World War I, Maryland federal judge Deborah Chasnow threw out a lawsuit filed by the American Humanist Association over a 40-foot-tall war memorial that's almost 100 years old. The monument, built in the shape of a Latin cross by the American Legion and located at the intersection of Maryland Route 450 and U.S. Route 1 in Bladensburg, was first dedicated in 1925, although the effort to raise funds to build the memorial started in late 1918. Since 1960, the monument has been owned and maintained by the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission. Prior to that time, it was owned and maintained by the American Legion. The Bladensburg Cross has a plaque that says, "The Memorial Cross is dedicated to the heroes of Prince George's County's Maryland who lost their lives in the Great War for the liberty of the world," and has a quotation from President Woodrow Wilson. Four words are inscribed on each face of the cross: valor, endurance, courage, devotion. The lawsuit was filed by the American Humanist Association, as well as several individuals who were apparently offended that they had to drive by the monument and see it every day at a busy highway. They claim that because the World War I memorial is in the shape of a cross, ownership, maintenance, and prominent display of the monument on public property violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. The Council on American-Islamic Relations was denied permission to file an amicus brief on the side of the plaintiffs. The Liberty Institute and Jones Day represented the defendants. As of December for the 1st, the formal relationship between the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Boy Scouts of America is no longer tenable, according to LCMS President, the Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison, and Office of National Mission Executive Director, the Reverend Bart Day. The decision came as a result of the Boy Scouts' action earlier this year to allow openly gay scout leaders.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work better here we long after Lutheran Firehound.
I'm Kip Allen, host of World Lutheran News Digest. My guest today is Chris Stone of Faith-Driven Consumer. Now, he has his organization rates various businesses on how friendly they are to Christians, and perhaps give us some tips on who we should go to buy our Christmas gifts and what have you. Mr. Stone, could you tell me a bit about yourself and how this organization got started?
Well, thank you for having me. Again, my name is Chris Stone, and I'm the founder of Faith Driven Consumer. Faith Driven Consumer is an advocacy for a subset of the Christian marketplace. 41 million people, 17% of the population that spends an incredible $2 trillion a year. Just at Christmas alone, faith-driven consumers will spend $30 billion, which if looked upon as a stewardship opportunity, is a great place to be a marketplace missionary.
And of course, this is part of what we do. As you pointed out, I mean, this is an enormous financial group. There's a lot of money involved here. And we hear a lot of things nowadays about people boycotting a particular organization because they don't like the way they stand. For example, that happened with Hobby Lobby. However, there is now what they call the boycott. And this is where you actually rate some organizations according to their faith and according to their friendliness to Christianity and other faith-based people, and then rate them and say, why not spend our dollars here? They have the goods and services that we want, and we can make a statement.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity. According to CSNBC, Americans will spend approximately $800 each this Christmas season. And in a Christmas season that major American brands are depending upon to make their year, that $30 billion spent by faith-driven consumers with brands that are doing it well, that are engaging and that resonate and that are compatible with faith-driven consumers, it's our opportunity to pick the winners this year.
And you actually have an organization, actually I should say a rating system. What do you do? What do you look for to rate a particular organization?
Well, we follow a very quantifiable survey format. It's called the Faith Equality Index. Many communities like faith-driven consumers have such an index. The LGBT community has one called the Corporate Equality Index. The Hispanic market has one called the HACR. The African-American community has one as well. So we have, as faith-driven consumers, not had any transparent method of measuring who's most faith compatible until now. There are 300 companies that are rated. We look at engagement. You know, are these brands actively engaging Christians? What is their position on the issues that are important to us? Are they giving money to causes that are near and dear to Christians? And what are their inner workings? What are their policies? Even down to the HR policies, who they're hiring, and what they're doing in their HR world. All of these things factor in to the rating, and at this point in time, compared with probably the gold standard at this point of the industry, the diversity measurement industry, the Human Rights Campaign, the advocates for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community, they have 366 companies who have a perfect score. Now, look at that. These companies were engaged in a very specific, very intentional, and a hard-earned fight to win these perfect scores. Within our own rating system, the highest score yet achieved is a 63. The average is a 32. So you can see that as faith-driven consumers, where there's a big gap of our inclusion in the marketplace. But this is a starting point. This is a great opportunity to build relationships moving forward so that one day we'll have 366 companies that place us on an equal priority footing with other communities.
Now, are these companies aware that you are rating them? Have you received any feedback from them?
Oh, absolutely. We have sent a copy of the rating to every company. We've sent it to them, you know, multiple times. We've had conversations with multiple executives in many of those companies. They're very, very aware of it. And not only are they aware of it, we have given them every opportunity to speak into their score. If there's an area that we have perhaps missed or not included that they would like to have factored in, they have every opportunity to do that. Matter of fact, it's by its very nature and design, it's designed to be something that they have a significant role in determining their score.
Well, I noticed that you've released a top 10 list just recently, and I wasn't surprised to see Hobby Lobby on it or Thrive and Financial, which is a Lutheran organization. Mm-hmm. But one group that surprised me that was listed as being more or less friendly to faith-based people is Walmart.
Well, Walmart is a company with significant effort on behalf of their Christian consumers. You know, you have to understand that 8 cents out of every dollar spent in the American economy is spent at Walmart. They are 7 times larger than Target, and they're 3 times larger than Amazon and Target combined. They have a complex consumer base, and they do reach out to all kinds of people. But as far as companies who have a culture that is friendly and inclusive to Christians, they do. They have operationalized and prioritized some other communities' engagement at this point higher, but on a relative scale, they're doing a good job, and a lot of what they do, the average person just never sees, although they are doing it. So we have found them to be a well-ranked company.
A lot of it, I should imagine, is how they accommodate their employees.
Well, actually, to look at it, they are a major advertiser, and they work with other brands to see that family-friendly content is produced for the American consumer, so that as you're watching TV, that there's programming that as a family you can sit down and watch. And they've been very instrumental in that. That's one of the things that we rated them and gave consideration for, is the fact that they go out of their way to make the world of television and movies to give a family-friendly opportunity.
Interesting. I wasn't aware that Walmart was involved in that. Now, I do know that a lot of Hollywood is finally starting to take notice that faith-based movies, family-friendly movies, are moneymakers. And, in fact, I spoke with a gentleman just recently about, like, the War Room came up, Fireproof, a whole series of these things that are incredibly incredibly profitable. But the Passion of the Christ was another just extraordinarily successful. And Hollywood, many of the major companies now are actually setting up divisions aimed at faith-based viewers. Is this perhaps part of the aim that we're trying with some of these companies, is to let them know that there's a lot of money to be made here if they just respect our beliefs?
Hollywood has done a tremendous job. They put forth a lot of effort to provide content for faith-driven consumers. They don't always get it right. Exodus would be a classic example of where they fell down. But they are producing content, and they are bringing it out with a fair amount of regularity, and we compliment them on that. We work with them consistently, as well as companies. We review movies and work with them on trying to get their focus in the right place. So they are doing a good job. They are trying. With any learning curve, they've still got a ways to go, but we're grateful for the opportunity to see so much content coming out.
Chris, I'd like to ask you, tell me a little bit about your background. Who are you, and what gave you the idea to organize this group?
Well, professionally, I am a certified brand strategist. That means that I build a bridge where a gap exists between brands and consumers. So, you know, in a prayerful thought over time, I began to ask, so I have this professional ability, I have this opportunity to use that for kingdom purposes, so God, what would you have me do? And the understanding and the idea behind faith-driven consumers came out of that. It is the largest and most underserved market segment in America. There is no other segment that has as much money and as much unmet need as faith-driven consumers. In fact, 70% of them are currently looking for brands that will welcome, embrace, and celebrate them. Now, think about it. Is there any other market segment that is that fluid, that is that likely to change? As a matter of fact, 77% of them indicate that they will change their brand of choice when they find one that is more faith compatible. That's just a tremendous opportunity for American brands to capture an advantage.
And this is something that also spreads across demographics. You mentioned earlier there are interest groups that support Hispanics and interest groups for African Americans, yet these people are also Christian.
Absolutely. One out of every 6 faith-driven consumers is African American. 1 out of every 7 is Hispanic. Geographically, demographically, ethnically, it runs the gamut. Faith-driven consumers are all over the country, and they come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and backgrounds. So it is a crossover. You know, I spoke recently at Bishop T.D. Jakes' event in Dallas. There were 85,000 people there, predominantly African-American. That's a serious group of people who gathered for an event, and many major companies were there. Were they there because they were African-American, or were they there because they were Christian? I guess is in the eye of the beholder. But there's an opportunity for people to really resonate on multiple levels with particular major segments of the faith-driven consumer community.
Why has this segment been ignored? As you just pointed out, this is probably the largest single segment of the consuming public. And yet, we certainly feel that we have been ignored.
Well, you know, I was asked that question earlier today, and I thought about it a little while. And then it occurred to me, with the intentional and systematic removal of all vestiges of Christianity from our culture, this gentleman was asking me why that was. And I thought about it and I said, well, you know, if you really get down to it, if there is a universal acknowledgement of a sovereign, all-knowing creator, God, that means that as an individual, I can no longer be God. And think about all the people whose choices and decision and the truth they created would be vanquished. Their whole view of the world would be vanquished if we as a nation allowed a true Christian worldview to be in our American discourse. And I think it makes people uncomfortable. And, you know, but that's biblical. What did Jesus tell us to his followers? They will hate you because they first hated me, because they hated God the Father. This is, I guess, something we should expect. And our job as faith-driven consumers is to go to these brands and bring them to a point of convergence with a decision. Are you going to welcome faith-driven consumers on parity with these other communities? Are you going to acknowledge that you cannot have true diversity and inclusion without faith-driven consumers in the rainbow? And some will say yes and welcome us, and some will say no, and they will marginalize us. But as Christians, we need to know that so we can do business with those as good stewards of what God has given us. We can do business with those that are doing things better. Because otherwise, we are guilty by commission of doing business with a brand that takes the money that we give them and does stuff that, frankly, is not honoring to God nor to our Christian beliefs.
And we know that the LGBT community has mobilized to attack many faith-based businesses. We've seen it, you know, everything from the bakers to the florists to photographers. And now here we're mobilizing to support them, to support these people and to support these organizations.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity to do business with people that welcome you. I mean, that's really the who wants to do business where they're not welcomed.
Well, it seems like a lot of the gay community try to do that.
Well, you know, they have a point of view, and quite frankly, where we are as a culture, we have taken a position of they have a place in the marketplace, we have a place in the marketplace, and we're just trying to convince American business that, in fact, we have a place in the marketplace because they're very committed to the LGBT community and others being a part of their prioritized engagement. That's a foregone conclusion. At this point in time, we're on the outside looking in, and we have to get back in. And that's what we're trying to accomplish.
And as you pointed out, in terms of buying power, push comes to shove, we've got the biggest club in the game.
Well, we have the biggest opportunity to influence the game, that is sure.
What are some of the companies we talked about? We've talked about Thrivent, and we've mentioned Walmart, and we've mentioned Hobby Lobby. Who are some of the other companies that are showing that they are catering to and are aware of the needs of the Christian community?
You know, at an internal level, Tyson Food is doing a really good job. They're one of our very highest-ranked companies. Interstate Batteries ranked well. Cracker Barrel ranked well. Now, it doesn't mean these are Christian companies or even overtly favorable to Christian. But when you look at their inner structure and you really analyze them, they're doing it better than most. In this case, better than 300 other companies. The ones that are really interesting are the ones that are doing the poorest job. Because take AT&T as an example. Huge mega company. They score well in all of the indices that we look at for comparison. They do well with the LGBT community, the African American, the Hispanic community, the diversity community as a general, but they do very poorly with us because they are not engaging faith-driven consumers in any meaningful way. They're really doing little or nothing. Bank of America, another example of a company that is doing little or nothing. The real opportunity is to get those at the bottom of the list and see how many of them who do not have a overwhelming cultural bias, but who are just ignorant to the fact or who have yet to engage, and see how we can get them to move up and seek a higher rating. And we're actually finding companies in the lowest tier who are eager to move up and to improve their score and to thus improve their relationship with faith-driven consumers.
Could you give an example of one of the lower tier ones who has expressed interest?
You know, off the top of my head, I would be guessing at the exact nature of that. We're talking to airlines, we're talking to retailers, we're talking to pharma companies who are in a general sense interested in having a conversation and in doing better.
One company you mentioned I want to bring out a little bit about myself is Tyson Foods. I actually did a story not too long ago on Tyson. They actually have within their own company a missionary. They bring in missionaries who give religious counseling to their employees.
They have a chaplain service throughout their organization, and that factored into our score.
Are there any other organizations that you're aware of, any other companies that have a chaplain service within them?
I'm aware of a whole lot, mostly in the smaller company arena. There's a company called Corporate Chaplains of America, as an example, that provides those services to a lot of small to medium-sized companies. So it's not a new idea. It's just something that we don't see in the larger companies very often.
And hats off to Tyson, which is one of the major food packers.
Yes, it is. It also is a company that there's enough control from a couple of people who really feel strongly about that it's possible. That would never even be a consideration at a company like, say, General Motors, as an example.
Pity. I'm sure people, wherever they are, whatever their jobs, people need to be able to express their faith. They need to know that there's a reason that they are doing what they are doing, their vocation. One of the things in Lutheran doctrine is that we believe that by fulfilling our jobs, whether it's as a husband, whether it's a father, whether it's as a public official, this is a way of honoring God by doing these things.
Absolutely. Do everything you do as if it was a gift unto the Lord and make it worthy of such a gift.
Amen. If people want to learn more about faith-based consumer, how can they find out? You have a website, and how can they find out about the ratings of the various companies?
You know, in this season, the best place to go for that information is Christmas Buycott. That's BUYCOTT, Buycott.com. There, under the Action Center there is a four-step process. Look at the reviews. Look at the companies that are doing it well. Look at the companies that are not. Engage those companies. There's a format there. There's information on how to reach out to specific companies. Those that are doing it well, encourage them. Say thank you. Those that aren't doing it well, don't be nasty and yell at them. Say, hey, we want to do business with you. We value you as a company, and we'd like to do business with you more. Help us out. Become more integrated with our community, become more welcoming to our community, encourage them. You know, you've mentioned the biblical view and doctrinal issues. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God loved us, and even when he found us in our sin, he still gave Jesus that we might be saved. That's a paraphrase, but you get the idea.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want to boycott people. Jesus didn't boycott us. We want to. You can't help somebody if you shun them or if you walk away from them. Stay with them and help them through this transition. Now, just like in the world of sin, some will be lost, but others will be saved. And as a Christian, I want to walk with you and help you through a transformation to the point that you will allow it and that you will welcome it.
As Jesus said on the cross to the thief, the one who had been cursing him, Verily I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Yes.
And he asked God the Father to forgive the people who were crucifying him. So that's the lesson that we can follow through. We can follow
Absolutely.
That example. Chris, thank you so much for being with me today on this program. You're giving a lot of good information. I think our listeners will be very interested in finding out exactly what they can do to help boost this movement.
Well, you know, I thank you for the opportunity. And one thing to consider is while we're asking these companies to engage us, we have to engage them. Because the one thing they tell me often is your people don't make enough noise. If you want something, you have to stand up and be committed to it. And that's what we're asking faith-driven consumers to do.
And that's what we'll do. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.